The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So yesterday, I went to a refuge ceremony at IMC. Gil was offering refuge and in a kind of a formal way that we do in this practice. And I know that some of you on this call were actually there, so we can remember that. And so then I was inspired to talk a little bit today about refuge, because it's really a practice of the heart, a movement of the heart. I want to talk about it in a general way, like what is a refuge? Why does our practice feel like a refuge and bring some kind of refuge to us? I think most people are aware that there are many kinds of dangers in a human life. And for the most part, we try to manage them through various conventional means. You know, we do our best to keep our life together, essentially. And a refuge would be a form of protection or shelter or asylum. And in effect, what we've done in our life is to what we call take refuge in certain things that we think are protective. So, for example, we might take refuge in our job or our relationships or our health, comfort, status, certain knowledge and skills that we have. If we've done some inner work, we might even take refuge in something like moral purity or even meditative bliss. But we have something that we consider to be protective in our life. And what we learn at some point is that at least some of these refuges may not be so reliable. Sometimes we learn this by having one of them taken away suddenly in our life. And, you know, often maybe somebody close to us dies, or we lose our job, or our health is severely challenged. And that can be something that wakes us up to, oh, wait a minute, I was relying on something that wasn't as reliable as I hoped. And now what do I do? So in a sense, we've already taken refuge. We're not starting from zero. Wherever you are in your life, you've taken refuge in something. But what? What have you taken refuge in? So the Buddha also acknowledged that there are many dangers in a human life. He didn't deny that at all. That's the first noble truth. But he noted that they tend to come from within for us. The real dangers are from our own greed, hatred, and a delusion, in a sense. And when people first hear this, there's often actually sometimes kind of a sense of relief or rightness. Yes, okay, that's true. That's true. So we need something that's more reliable to protect us in our life. And at least in this practice, those are called the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, or the Triple Gem, or the Three Jewels. But they have, those words have many meanings. We're not assuming here in this group that people think of themselves as Buddhists. That's not required. But I would like to point to these just as the general category of wise refuges that are better than those conventional ones that we have been trying before. So, for example, things like mindfulness, like kindness, non-harming, maybe understanding how karma operates. Essentially, if I act from a place of peace and love, then that will have better results than if I act from a place of anger or greed. That's a basic understanding. Or maybe we have a wise person in our life, like a teacher or a very good friend that we feel is kind of a refuge for us, can be protective of from our unskillfulness. So, you know, we might start with some kind of what's called an outer refuge, like a person or something that we're borrowing this wisdom from. But the hope is that later we will develop an inner refuge through our practice of the heart practices like we do here, or through some wisdom or mindfulness practice And we'll start to have a more reliable inner refuge of just knowing how things work, knowing that our heart has some stability to it. So we can start to become connected to something that is a truly reliable refuge. Let's call it a wise refuge of some kind. There's a nice little verse that I like from the Mahayana tradition that says, it talks about this. It says, locked up in the prison of their own patterning, whom can ordinary gods protect? Who can you count on for refuge? Go for refuge in the three jewels. This is the practice of one walking toward awakening or toward love and compassion, we could also say. So the reference is a little poetic, but these ordinary gods are meant to be the things that we've thought of as our refuge, our job, our house, our living situation, our partner, these sorts of things. And it says that these are, in a way, a little bit confined to the conventional world, ordinary gods that we've been told would be okay for us, but we know may not be. So instead, we go for some kind of a wise refuge, mindfulness or love or compassion. You can define it for yourself. So I wanted to offer that as a reflection as we get going today, a sense that an invitation maybe to consider what kind of wisdom and heartfulness feels like a true refuge, true safety and protection for your heart. So with that, why don't we meditate together? I'm just going to offer some simple guidance at the beginning, and then we'll mostly sit in silence. So settling in to your meditation posture, maybe feeling where you're sitting, your seat against the chair or the cushion, the bed, the couch. Feeling how you're resting on something solid, supportive, and allow yourself to be supported. Maybe taking a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. And on the out breath, softening the body. If you're comfortable doing so, allowing the eyes to close. Allowing the shoulders to drop. Belly to soften. Maybe softening the eyes in the eye sockets. Releasing tension in the arms and hands. And also in the legs and feet. We're always just inviting ease, knowing that it may or may not actually relax, but that's okay. We invite ease through the body. And checking in also with the mind and heart. How are you? And just being with that. I would invite a brief reflection on the sense of safety in your life. What does help you to feel greater safety? What is your refuge? And is there something that's in your heart or your mind that comes from practice that you know to be deeply reliable, something that you've learned for yourself? And allow that to inform your meditation this moment. Just bring it in kind of as an emotional sense. And then softening the reflective mind and just settling back into your experience with the intention of care and goodwill toward yourself, bringing in some metta, some warmth. One of the metta wishes is, may I be safe. May I live with ease. May I have a deep, reliable, and wise refuge in my life. if the mind is beginning to drift, or you're getting sleepy or restless, maybe take a moment to notice that there's a way in which the mind is less safe when it's wandering without mindfulness. A wandering mind can get into trouble. And instantly, just being aware again brings a connection and a certain kind of safety, the refuge of the present moment. in the last couple of minutes of this sit, the invitation is to settle back into the body. Feel the body in the sitting posture. And sense into your love and care again for yourself. Wishes for safety, for refuge. And see if you can breathe that through the body. Energetically. May all beings be happy, peaceful, safe, and free. Okay, so now, as often we do, this is a chance for you in a few minutes to talk with some others in the group. We'll have breakout groups. And in case there's anyone new, but also just as by way of a reminder, just a reminder of how to be with each other in the groups. It's a chance to listen to what others are saying. We don't have a need to inform other people or give advice. It's more like each thing that people are sharing is creating a mosaic where each person is contributing a piece. And it helps when you're sharing to stay in the body and stay connected to your emotions so that you know you have some mindfulness of how you're speaking and sharing with others. It's a way of keeping the space safe for everyone, our theme for this evening, and also a chance to really feel connected in the group when everyone is contributing in this way. So I'm going to go ahead and set up the groups, and I was going to suggest that what you may do to talk about is this idea of an unreliable refuge and a wise refuge. And you know, what does that mean to you? How does it operate in your life? And just have a discussion about this sense of refuge. You'll be in the rooms together for about 8 minutes, let's say 9. Okay, enjoy. So I think we're all back now. I'm curious, is there any other questions or things that you'd like to share with the larger group? You can raise your Zoom hand. Jerry, great. Oh. Yeah, you should be able to unmute. Are you, you're still muted.
There I go.
Okay.
I've become the So thank you, and thank you for the direction. I did like the idea that you raised in the meditation, Kim, about that wandering mind, beware, can be dangerous. And so it did bring me to your comment about the issue of where does one create a sense of refuge too? Because I think absolute refuge is critically important if you're going to feel safe. You can't feel safe, you can't really settle yourself.
That's right.
And so I certainly have a sense of refuge here and try to get myself settled at 9 o'clock my time to at night to be on board. But it gets to a stronger sense that one really needs to create a sense of refuge in one's mind more than maybe a physical construct. And because if you can create a sense of refuge in your mind, then, you know, the wandering mind, the reactive responses might be less because you might have that refuge that wherever you are in a meeting or walking on the street, that you can say, wait a minute, this is...
That's right. It's much more portable, isn't it?
So,
yeah, so yeah, that makes sense. I think this is a great comment. Do you have a sense for yourself of what kind of refuge in the mind is helpful to you?
One that that is listening carefully to the mind, but also mm-hmm. watching how it can go down the reactive path. And when I go there, usually I feel that it's probably the path that one should not go down.
So the careful listening and watching of the mind is kind of your refuge then. Yeah. Thank you.
You're yeah. welcome.
Amy, hello. Oh, okay. Let me give you that. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, the first thing that popped in my mind was this group. I remember showing up at one of the first since it started in COVID. And then not consistently, and then the last few years very consistently, and you know, being in sitting in the teachings and then the breakout rooms with so much care and metta and wisdom have been so beautiful. And so that's definitely the external piece that this group really holds me, which I'm so appreciative of everyone here. And then the internal thinking about the pause, sometimes when I don't know what to do, what's wise action, just letting myself pause in it, letting myself breathe with it and be unsure for a while before there's a sense where I can lean in. Feels wise, but not always easy.
And yeah, that's right. You have to be able to hold with that feeling of uncertainty. Nice.
Yeah. And I just wanted to thank you, Kim. Before I was like really into the Dharma, I was just doing like mindfulness, westernized stuff. Like I started attending classes with you like 6 years ago at a yoga studio. And I fell in love with the Dharma like through you. So like, it's so wonderful to see you here after all that time. And
oh, that's nice to hear, Amy. Wonderful. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you again. So Jesse.
Thank you for this practice. Yeah, I love this topic. I guess my question is about feelings. You know, for most of my life, that was all I had to go on. And usually it was the unpleasant ones that I don't like. Sadness, depression, confusion. So this, my question is, taking refuge, like, how will I know? I've been trying pretty hard. Like, every morning I say, Buddham, Saranam, Gacchami. Like, I take the refuge every morning. I mean, there's definitely things I do, and I think it's helping. But is it a feeling, you know? So, like, does taking refuge in the Dharma, will that mean, you know, that I won't have depression anymore? I don't know. Could you talk about whether taking refuge in the Dharma is a feeling, or whether that I would, and I would recognize the feeling, or is it something else?
That's a great question. So, yeah, I think eventually refuge is a feeling in the heart. It's meant to be an emotional or even devotional connection that we have to something that's meaningful to us, something bigger than us, generally. I would probably not go as far as to say that it's a guarantee of having or not having certain mind states in the future, because that's a matter of Dharma practice and having insight. But in order to do Dharma practice to the point where we have insights, we need to feel safe enough to open to our feelings, even the ones that are a little bit dark or not as helpful to us. And the refuge is kind of like a way that we can do that. Like we can hold somebody's hand as we walk into the forest, for example. And then when we're, you know, if we have them with us, we can say, I've had enough of the dark forest for now. Let's head back out. And they'll lead us back out. That's kind of the function of refuge, is to be our companion so that we can do the Dharma work that will free the heart. Does that help?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for your sharing. Peter.
Yesterday with the wind, I lost power in the house for several hours, and I've had housing insecurity, very uncomfortable about my future for this past year. So that was upsetting. And at the same time, I lost the ability to connect with a sangha that I regularly do on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So I had this double thing, the conventional and the part of the refuges that we're talking about. But I think that, and it was a hard day for me to get through. Mm-hmm. But I think that through the work of the being involved in Sangha and the teachings, there was enough in reserve that I had it within me to get through it better than I would have over a year ago.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you sort of stored up something in your tank. Your Dharma tank wasn't empty. That's great. And I guess groups like this help us keep refilling that tank. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I think that says a lot also about what some of the other comments have said. You know, what is it that refuge can do for us? It adds a little to our tank so that when things go wrong, because life always has challenges, we might be able to stay with it a little longer. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, Jamie, and maybe that'll be our last.
It's wonderful to see everybody. We were cut off before I had a chance to thank my small group member for the concluding comment. It was really helpful to me, so thank you.
Oh, great. Any other, I guess we would have time for one more if anyone has any, or we could head out. Okay.
I'd like to hear actually what your, where do you take refuge?
Oh, so for me, I find great refuge in awareness. In the cultivation of knowing. It's similar to what a few other people have said, but just being able to be present with experience in the present moment, I find is the safest place to be. The past and the future, I'm not as sure about, but if I can find a way to stay with the present, that's when I have a chance to be kind, be compassionate, or think of something creative to get from this moment to the next. If I'm not present, I won't have that ability. Yeah. So that's what I work on as my deepest refuge, is the knowing, the awareness.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you, everyone. This has been lovely. And I wish you a wonderful evening, day, night, wherever you are. And may you be well. Feel free to unmute and say goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye, bye. Everyone. Thank
everyone.
You, Kim.
Bye, everybody.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.